We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Fantasy Cast on RotoViz Radio. Brought to you by our friends over at Blue Wire on the RotoViz Radio Network. The first round of rookie drafts are in the books for most people. We're getting into the second wave a little bit as we hit into week two of rookie draft season. Dan, how is your rookie draft season going?
It's good. Get a lot of said rookie drafts out of the way early. Some are late. Some are kind of in the middle to avoid the chaos of what is the end of the off season and what is, you know, essentially rookie fever, which is right now. So I've got them all over the board. Plenty remaining, but definitely have gone through the ringer. Even with the very few picks that I do have in the places I did have them, I felt pretty good about a lot of the picks. I was able to move up in some scenarios and trade into the first and snag some QBs in super flex leagues. And aside from that, I think I was mostly trading down into that massive tier of mediocre players just because I wasn't in love with anyone with the higher draft capital.
That sounds about right for this draft class. Lots of quandaries, lots of conundrums. But today, we're going to pretty much go through all the main players that we did not cover last week. So make sure to tune into last week's episode to find out our takes on that group of players. So now we're just going to fill in the holes with most of the relevant players that are left. And we will be starting off with last week we started off with Trevor Lawrence and said, okay, we kind of saw this coming all offseason. And another instance of this is Ja'Marr Chase. I feel like we were projecting Ja'Marr Chase at 5 to the Bengals most of the offseason. You know, some people maybe were hoping for Sewell or maybe hoping for Pitts at 5. But I think Chase was far from a shocking landing spot with the Cincinnati Bengals with Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow, and T. Higgins. So my pre-draft take was that this does worry me for T. Higgins' upside. But from what I've seen in the aftermath, and we'll talk about some veterans next week and can go a little bit deeper into this, but I thought Ja'Marr Chase would kill, or I thought that T. Higgins would be overvalued and not be worth his price after a Ja'Marr Chase selection, but it seems like his value has tanked from this selection to where he's now probably being worth like a fourth or fifth round startup pick, and at that price, even with Chase in the building, I am buying T. Higgins. But also with Chase, I'm buying him too at the third round, maybe late second round price tag. He's got Joe Burrow, he's got a great young offense, and he's one of the better wide receiver prospects we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, there's better places he could have gone, but honestly, you get to play back with Joe Burrow. You've got some quality offensive pieces to kind of help free you up so you're not smothered. And that also gives him the opportunity early on to just kind of be able to take it at his pace and kind of grow into the game. They're not going to probably force him into double-digit target games right away because they do have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. I think the long-term effect here, obviously, is that Tyler Boyd isn't probably super long for a hefty target share or work. Possibly, I mean, he could be traded, whatever, but this is a Chase and Higgins for the future. I would assume Jamar Chase is going to occupy that 1A role, but T. Higgins definitely shouldn't be getting discounted to the severity that he is. So I do like Jamar Chase quite a bit. Would have wished a little bit more, I think, empty depth chart would have been nice. You know, a Dolphins pick would have probably been my favorite spot because I do think Tua can be that pocket passer. We had maybe hoped that he was going to be, but I'm not going to complain about getting Joe Burrow.
But we were also saying similar things about Lamb last year in the Dallas wide receiver core. Like, man, I wish he wasn't going somewhere where he had to compete with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. And now he's a top three, top four wide receiver in all dynasty. So I'm not too scared off by the landing spot, but I think that there is a little bit of a cap ceiling on both him and Higgins because they're both so good.
I agree. I think short term for sure with Boyd still in the picture, everybody's going to be a little bit limited. Not everybody's just going to get 140 targets because that's just not how that's going to work. But I think they'll get enough to be very relevant. And obviously what we saw from T. Higgins last year, we know that he's special. We can only make the assumption that Jamar Chase is special at this point with the draft capital, with what we saw on college tape and the fact that he looked so much better than Justin Jefferson in college. And now we see what Justin Jefferson is. So this honestly should be good all around. And I think in most cases, I'm going to be taking him 101 in obviously non-Superflex or 2QB. He would be my top skill position player there. But one of the next guys coming down the list here in a little bit, I think we'll be making a push for that top spot potentially.
And so as of now, we're recording on May 11th. If you have a 1QB, 101, are you going with Chase or are you going elsewhere?
I think I'm always more of like a best player available rather than team need. But I mean, if I was like nine deep at wide receiver or something, I would probably go Kyle Pitts. I don't think I'm ever going to go running back first here. Unless I'm super loaded and I have the luxury of being able to take a team need, then maybe I would consider Travis Etienne or Najee Harris. But I think I'm going Jamar Chase in almost every scenario.
Yeah, I think that the broad top tier in 1QB is Chase, Pitts, Harris, Etienne in some order. But I think that the more narrow tier is Chase, Pitts. Like, I think that you can see those two go 1-2 either way. And you're not going to, like, fret, like, oh, he should have gone, like, Chase should have gone one or Pitts should have gone one, especially when we're taking account into team need. Like, you know, teams that are loaded by receiver might be more interested in Pitts. So let's move on to Kyle Pitts, fourth overall pick by the Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones trade rumors have been swirling as of late about a possible post-June 1st trade once his, you know, cap hit becomes less expensive or whatever it may be. So with Kyle Pitts, I've talked about it on several platforms now, but like it just seems like such an odd fit for a team that probably should have gone into rebuild mode. They went into let's try and make a run mode by selecting Kyle Pitts. Now, granted, Kyle Pitts is not going to be bad in like 4 years. He's going to be a long-haul prospect, but I feel like this is more so looking for the best, like making the Falcons better for this year rather than the next several years.
I genuinely think it's a best player available scenario. And honestly, they made this pick maybe – you know, maybe they were stuck in between going Chase, Pitts, or whoever else maybe could have been on the board for them.
Or they were waiting for Lance to fall.
True. They could have went quarterback here if one of their, what I would perceive as probably Trey Lance or Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, we knew Trevor Lawrence wasn't going to fall. This one honestly just felt like they drafted knowing that they weren't going to have Julio on the roster. Good friend of the show, Ryan McDowell, had tweeted that he had spoken with someone on the inside, and pretty much every time I see Ryan make tweets like that, his inside information is basically 100% accurate. He doesn't make those claims very often. When he does, it usually happens. So I would imagine Julio Jones will not be an Atlanta Falcon. The downside potentially to Pitts is how many years does he get with Matt Ryan? You know, Matt Ryan isn't a super quarterback, but he's a lot better than most. So, you know, when they make that changeover, maybe they do end up with a high-end QB coming out here in the next couple of years. But as of right now, I think the real worry is how much time does he have with Matt Ryan? Because an offense with that's going to feature Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts mainly, and then whatever else they do at running back, is that's going to be pretty high volume in the short term, especially if Julio Jones isn't involved.
Yeah, if Julio Jones is out the building, granted, Kyle, I'll say this, Kyle Pitts' redraft price tag is done. He's being drafted at tight end 3, tight end 4. That's done.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
But he could legitimately see 100-plus targets in first year as a rookie if there's no Julio Jones. Because, like, who else are they throwing to? They're throwing to Mike Davis and Calvin Ridley, and that's really it. And I know Hayden Hurst is still there, too. But there is such a devoid of targets if you take away Julio Jones. You know, our boy Pete Howard hates the term vacated targets, but there will be a vacation of targets if Julio Jones is jettisoned from Atlanta. So with Kyle Pitts, we talked about this throughout the offseason as far as like where his dynasty value is in maybe a tight end premium format. Is he in the conversation with Trevor Lawrence for you, or is he firmly cemented at the 102 in tight end premium? I think I have him 103 in tight end premium after Lawrence and Lance. But I think that is a very close tier in tight end premium of Pitts, Chase, and Fields.
Yeah, it's a tough spot because you're putting a premium on such a scarce position that with the draft capital and the really good landing spot, we have to make the assumption, at least at a high, decently high percentage, that Kyle Pitts is going to smash. And that, even if he doesn't, his resale value, even with time, is going to be so high because of where he was drafted. And it's really hard to not want to take him, I would say, honestly, right after Lawrence. I would have a really hard time passing on Lance and Fields both to take a tight end of all positions. But there's so much upside in that because, you know, we have the conversation all the time about the scarcity at the tight end position. And really, there's two or three guys that are dominating it and everybody else is, I mean, you'd rather just have like a kicker or something because we don't know who's going to score points and when they're going to do it. So if Pitts can end in that upper echelon, he probably deserves to go anywhere between 102 and 104 in super flex. So it's tough.
And here's how crazy Kyle Pitts is a prospect. His updated comp score, RotoViz box score scout comp score, there isn't a single player with a comp score higher than 24, meaning there's literally nobody like Kyle Pitts that has ever existed. His comp scores, which are all very low, are 24 or lower, are Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson, Eric Ebron, Tyler Eifert, Evan Ingram. Basically, the only thing that those guys have in common with Kyle Pitts is that they were first-round picks. Like, that's the only way they, like, get in shouting distance of Kyle Pitts. This sounds hyperbolic, but, like, literally he's the best tight end prospect we've ever seen, the highest tight end ever drafted. I hate tight ends, but it's hard to, like, you know, poo-poo the prospect of Kyle Pitts.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Anybody that's ever listened to the show knows how much me specifically despises the tight end position, but us as a whole despises it. And the fact that we're even considering taking him anywhere near that top spot should speak volume. So I would say Pitts. I'm not gonna you know, say anything bad about anyone wanting to take Pitts 101 in non-super flex leagues. Any order of Pitts, Chase, and then maybe both running backs. I guess I still think it's Chase, Pitts, and then the running backs. But other than Trevor Lawrence in a super flex league, there's really no good answer there. I think it's hard to pass on the quarterbacks, but the advantage you potentially get with Kyle Pitts is massive.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Now let's move on to the next position player drafted, which was 6th overall pick. And we have Jalen Waddle going to the Miami Dolphins, giving Tua a weapon, giving Tua – this was actually a theme on draft night of players reuniting with former teammates Jamar Chase with Joe Burrow and Jalen Waddle with Tua and among other stuff. Oh, and Devonta with Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Waddle, I do like the fit a lot here. Tua needed somebody to get separation, and Jalen was the best of the, you know, top few players at getting that separation, at, you know, breaking plays open downfield. So I like the Waddle pick a lot. Some of his comp score scout with his 6th overall pick at 7 and Mike Evans at 14, Lamb at 14. So those are some, you know, lower numbers, but basically his more, you know, close comp is Mike Williams. And he's a first-round wide receiver, so I like what I'm seeing from Waddle. I haven't really gobbled up too many shares yet because I don't really like that tier of – basically, I would rather trade back a few picks and see what I can get on top of Bateman or on top of, you know, Sermon or something like that. So I haven't really gotten any yet. But I do – I like him as a prospect. It's just a guy I'm not going to end up with a ton of.
Yeah, that's – again, it's a weird one. You know, if Tua turns into what we think he can be, that's – that's probably a really, really good spot, obviously. But if Tua continues to be kind of what we've seen and he doesn't stay healthy, well, that's really not great. And they kind of – it's kind of a weird offense to me. You've got Parker, Fuller, Gesicki, and now you bring in Jalen Waddle. I mean, does that move him to, like, the intermediate underneath slot role type things? Because Fuller is an outside wide receiver. Parker is an outside wide receiver. Gesicki is your stretch tight end, and now you have somebody that's supposed to stretch the field, but they kind of already have that covered. So are they just going to run 4 go routes every single, you know, like it just seems kind of odd to me. I understand the playmaker role that he should essentially have there, but I don't love it. I don't hate it. Between Waddle and Devonta Smith, I've just been kind of like, okay. You know, whatever. I'd rather have Bateman straight up. Even, you know, you talk about trading back to get Bateman, and that's great if somebody's really willing to come up and get Waddle, Smith, whoever, Javonte Williams even. It's that spot where I think you just kind of take your pick of whatever your personal preference is. I don't really think there's ever going to be a community census on, you know, strictly who goes where. Because if you look even up and down at all of the different rankers across all the different websites, there's no consistency with ranking both Smith and Waddle at all. All of the rankers are between like 3 and 12.
Oh, that's interesting. Because from all of my rookie bar that I've seen, it's been the top in terms of Superflex. It's been the top 8, then Javonte, then the Alabama wide receivers in every single one I've seen. So, you know, that might just be my closed-mindedness of what I've seen so far. But I feel like the tiers as far as Superflex have been very clear. As far as, you know, the top tier, and then you have Javonte, and the there might be some separate, some differentiation between does Javonte go first or does the Alabama wide receivers go first, but that's pretty much.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, the super flex helps kind of create the tiers when you're talking adding those quarterbacks in. I think the Alabama wide receivers are probably going to end up going a little bit too high still, even especially in like one quarterback leagues. I think them going between 4 and 6 is too high for my taste.
All right, let's move on to Devonta Smith. The Eagles traded up from 12 to 10 to jump the Giants to ensure they would get Devonta Smith. And people are making the comparisons. Okay, do you want Devonta Smith or Jalen Reagor? Obviously, you want Devonta Smith, but this is a very, hyperbolic offense that can go one way or the other, you know, high floor, low ceiling. And Devonta Smith is kind of the head of that if the Eagles offense blows up, Devonta Smith's going to be a wide receiver one in the NFL and wide receiver one in fantasy. But if Hurts doesn't pan out, which we have some concerns about his passing ability and, you know, just long-term viability, then Devonta Smith is more of a long-term, you know, question mark. So I personally prefer Waddle because I have more faith in Tua than Hurts, and I have more faith in the Miami offense than the Eagles offense, and also, you know, the slight bump in draft capital. And with Smith, I think it's solid. He's the 10th pick. He, you know, Heisman, all the ridiculous receiving yard records. But I'm just not inspired by the Eagles landing spot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think, honestly, that's one of the worst landing spots because of Jalen Hurts. As far as a passer, we know what he can do as a runner. Everybody's understanding of that. As a fantasy producer, Jalen Hurts could be massive. It's not going to be with his arm. He is not the passer that Lamar Jackson is, and that's saying something because Lamar Jackson is a very mediocre passer. Jalen Hurts is going to hold that offense back from a passing standpoint, and that does not bode well for Devonta Smith. Now, does that mean he's not talented? Absolutely not. I think he genuinely is one of the more gifted wide receivers we've ever seen. We saw him do things we haven't seen a college wide receiver do really ever, and what he was posting up for numbers and doing it in the SEC and doing it at the size he's doing it. So the very, very slight frame is still a worry for me, but I think more worrisome is the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I don't think A, that the volume is going to be there, or B, the quality of volume is going to be there. So I'm with you. I'm taking Waddle over Smith, and I want to like it because they need to throw it to somebody, but I just wish it wasn't Jalen Hurts throwing the football. Why can't they just put him in for the running packages?
All right. Before we head into the rest of our players, let's hear about ourselves, RotoViz.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener. This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
That's right. Get yourself the RotoViz discount, RV Radio 2021. Get you a 10% discount to the NFL, to our NFL pass, all the good stuff, all the apps. We talk about these apps every week. You have to be using them to better your dynasty game, better your fantasy game with rotoviz.com.
Get yourself some us.
All right, let's move on to Rashad Bateman going to the Baltimore Ravens in the late first round. Now, this is a landing spot that was talked about throughout, you know, the offseason. Like, okay, the Ravens are going to draft a wide receiver to pair with Marquise Brown. And I was saying in the pre-draft process that I will be a big fan of the Baltimore Ravens first-round wide receiver because I'm going to like the value of a first-round wide receiver paired with the, you know, disappointment in being in a Baltimore Ravens run-heavy offense. Now, I haven't quite seen – I've seen some people say, like, okay, they're completely out on Bateman. But as far as like his ADP, I don't think it's really dropped significantly to where I would have expected it if he hadn't gone to a, you know, run heavy offense. So I think that his price is relatively where I expected it to be, but I think he's still value there. I think he's still, you know, worth his value there. So I think that you know, his ceiling is much higher than his current price. If Lamar returns to the 2019 Lamar, then Bateman has, you know, 1,200-yard, 9-touchdown-type upside. And so that's definitely something I can get on board with. So I know you're a huge Bateman guy. So what were your thoughts on him going to Baltimore?
So, I mean, like you, I kind of liked the idea of getting whoever it was going to be for a discount. I don't love it in the short term, just because we don't know if this Baltimore offense is going to return to form. You know, obviously what they were last year was not good, for anything we're trying to do as far as fantasy players. But obviously Bateman's honestly one of the few guys that I think the analytics and the tape match up for. I think everything you see on paper is everything you get on film. He is a dynamic playmaker, a little bit undersized, sure. You know, he'll probably get to that 200 mark as far as his playing weight goes. But consider what he has done. You consider his breakout age. He's only 20. That's huge. He's getting an opportunity to go somewhere that, you know, really doesn't have a whole lot in front of him. Obviously, you have Mark Andrews there. You still have Hollywood Brown. But it's a passing offense. It's been kind of non-existent. You know, last year, obviously they were bad. The year before, it was good. It was efficient, but it wasn't a ton of volume. So we hope that maybe changes by adding this first round wide receiver. Bateman is, I've had him all over the board. You know, if he went, and we had this conversation, you and I, if he went literally anywhere but Baltimore, he was my lock wide receiver too. Then I kind of went up and down and back and forth. You know, I originally liked Waddle more with the Miami landing spot, and then I kind of considered Devonta Smith there with the Philly spot. But now it's like, I mean, how is Bateman's landing spot actually worse than either one of those two? Because we still don't know if Tua can do it. We know Jalen Hurts probably can't. And we've seen Lamar do it. They just went away from it last year. So honestly, I think I'm re-locking in Rashad Bateman as my wide receiver too in the class. And he's been one of those guys that's been kind of like consensus after Chase, Harris, Etienne, Pitts, even after the Alabama wide receivers, and then it's Bateman. He's been like locked in as like the end of that tier or the beginning of the next. And really, he should be going probably right after, he should be going either 5 or 6, in my opinion. It just depends on who you like most.
Sure, but I mean, you do have to admit that the draft capital separation is a bit huge between 10 and, what was it, 29 or 30?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he went, what, 27 to Baltimore? And that for sure matters. It absolutely matters. You know, these NFL teams like chasing Nick Saban players. It's pretty obvious. And for the most part, they work out pretty well. And it's rare that they don't, I guess, especially as a skill player. So, you know, maybe chasing Rashad Bateman there is, you know, it's not the best of ideas. I just think you get the most out of Bateman as far as the way he projects into the NFL and everything. Like I said, what he has on paper, what he has on film, to me is more impressive than both Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle.
All right, let's move on to our next player, and it's our first running back of the night. It is Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams to the Denver Broncos and on day two. I can safely say I'm going to exit draft season with no Javonte Williams. I thought there was a chance I could get a couple shares in the late first round, but he's going over both of the Alabama receivers routinely. He's going above basically that's who he's going about. Going above both the Alabama receivers and Bateman routinely. And I would probably have both Alabama receivers ahead of him, and he would be sandwiched between the Alabama receivers and Bateman for me. So I'm not going to end up with any Javonte. I think it's a fine landing spot in Denver. If Aaron Rodgers comes to town, it becomes a very nice landing spot. But even then, I'm not huge on Javonte here. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I think the landing spot in its own, regardless of quarterback, has proven pretty fruitful over the last few years, whether it's Philip Lindsay or it's Melvin Gordon or even Royce Freeman on the occasion that he gets a couple of looks. So I think Javonte Williams is is probably better and maybe closer to the other two backs than maybe we're giving him credit for. Now, should he be going ahead of the Alabama wide receivers and, you know, ahead of Bateman, ahead of even someone like Terrace Marshall? Probably not. I think he's in that mix, and that would be a pick that I would make where it's more of a team need rather than a best player available. But I do like the way he plays. I like what he brings. And obviously the lack of other running backs in Denver, you know, you still have Melvin Gordon, but he's been half dead for like 3 years. So I think the landing spot is great. And like you said, if Aaron Rodgers comes to town, well, then it's just a smash. Then you essentially have Aaron Jones 2.0.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a possibility. But where would you see yourself drafting him? Like, is there a spot that he could fall where you would end up with him? Or you think you're like me, where you're going to end up exit rookie draft season with minimal or zero of Javonte?
So you're obviously not taking him in the top four. I'm not taking him over Bateman or Smith or Waddle. I would consider him with Terrace Marshall, Rondale Moore, Trey Sermon. So I think if I can get him, at 8, 9, or 10, that might even be a spot I trade up to try to get him, because I feel like that's really good value where, like you mentioned before, I've seen him going really high. I've seen him going ahead of the Alabama wide receivers. I've seen him going, I actually saw him go ahead of Travis Etienne in one draft. So it's a little crazy. I mean, I get it. But it's not, that's too high. I think the sweet spot is probably 8 to 10.
Yep, that makes sense. Let's go on to our next one. You just mentioned him. Terrace Marshall, third round pick to the Carolina Panthers, I think. He was in second round, I think. Either way, Terrace Marshall to the Carolina Panthers. This was a receiving corps that definitely had a whole, who left there? Curtis Samuel, there you go. Curtis Samuel left the Carolina Panthers for the Washington football team. And so now they just had Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. So this is a team with Sam Darnold, another team that has a high upside, low floor type thing. If Sam Darnold busts, then this Panthers offense is going to be incompetent. But if it succeeds, it has lots of nice weapons with DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and the prospects of Terrace Marshall, who played, you know, similarly well as Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson in 2019. So I definitely think the upside is quite high. He's a second-round pick, pick 59 overall. Upside is quite high for him, but I worry about his short-term outlook because I think that he is a little bit of a third fiddle or fourth fiddle behind Robbie Anderson, CMC, and DJ Moore.
Yeah, the short-term issue for me also is the potential, you know, medical. I don't think folks were all that high on his medical coming through the draft process, which I'm guessing is probably why he made it to pick 60 or wherever he went. I think had he not had the medical flags that he did have, he probably would have ended up going in the early second instead of the late second. Again, it's an LSU wide receiver that had to play alongside Ja'Marr Chase, and Ja'Marr Chase kind of overshadowed them, even though I think we saw some really, really good stuff from Terrace Marshall. And I do think he is going to be a playmaker and a difference maker in the NFL. Now, like you mentioned, short term's not great because, yeah, we're still looking at Sam Darnold as who's throwing you the ball. You still have DJ Moore. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is going to, you know, desire and require a lot of looks. So I think Terrace Marshall is one of your better long-term plays. I think he's got a lot of upside and a very, very low floor at this point. He belongs after the big group of probably 8 guys, maybe 10 guys. But I think once you get into that spot, I think Terrace Marshall, there's few guys at that point with as much upside as he has. Now you could consider the Elijah Moores and the Kadarius Tonys who have the draft capital. But from what I saw in film, Terrace Marshall is the guy that I would much prefer.
Now let's move on to our final player of the night, and it's a guy who has been a favorite of mine over the last 12 to 18 months, and that is one Dyami Brown from North Carolina, heading to the Washington football team in the third round. Dyami Brown is a guy that I've been excited about, and I like this landing spot, and I was somewhat worried going into the draft that Dyami would fall to day three, and I would have to be like, eh, gross. He goes on day two. That's good enough draft capital to warrant possible targets, and he's going to an offense that has a wide open target, target distribution. There's Terry McLaurin, there's Logan Thomas, and there's not much else that's saying, wow, I really need targets. So I think Dyami Brown has a chance to, you know, be the wide receiver two there, and I think that that is an offense that is going, like, Fitzpatrick's not the long-term quarterback answer, so they're going to invest at quarterback soon. And that could be him. Like, it's not a young, great offense yet because it has Ryan Fitzpatrick. But once they do get a young quarterback, it's going to be a young, great offense with Dyami Brown, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, and Antonio Gibson.
But even so, short-term upside is immense because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've seen him support multiple fantasy assets and put up big-time points, even at Ryan Fitzpatrick himself. And he's going to be able to support however many guys they want to have involved in Washington, and honestly, Dyami Brown can be one of those guys. He's not going to take looks over Terry McLaurin, maybe even Logan Thomas. Obviously, you still do have Antonio Gibson and the others in that backfield, but this is, in my opinion, one of the better picks for as far as like a playmaker standpoint goes. You're getting him at what pick, like 80, I think is where he went, 82. Really good value, in my opinion. What he did. I'm surprised North Carolina wasn't better. I feel like they should have been really good, especially, you know, considering quarterback. You've got wide receiver. You got a couple of running backs here. But yeah, Dyami Brown is somebody who, we had battled back and forth with on a couple of leagues, I think, trying to move up to get him or to hope that he falls into that place, but getting him early mid second is kind of a blessing. And he's even gone to like mid late second in some leagues, especially like Superflex. He's pushing that 2-3 turn in some cases.
Yeah, for sure. So he's definitely a guy who I'm targeting that late second, early third. And he's also, I talked about this with you and I talked about with Russell quite a bit, that in rookie drafts, he's kind of that last gasp of hope, because after that, you're taking pretty much all day three guys, or maybe like a day two quarterback in one QB or something like that. Like, it gets very gross in terms of this rookie class once Dyami Brown is off the board.
That, yeah, and that kind of his little group there at the end, it just kind of turns into honestly, it's a big list of people that I couldn't pick out of a lineup.
You mean you don't know Khalil Herbert?
Nope. didn't know that was a thing until he landed on one of my teams.
There you go. All right, that should wrap us up for this evening. Shout out to me. I'm editing this episode, so I'm not a hero, but I'm a hero.
You're the hero we deserve.
And also, shout out to Justin. We always love you. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Any last words, Dan?
Nope. That's good. You gotta finish this out. Take us out.
Call those.